Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Joe Cook, InsideTexas.com beat reporter for the Longhorns. Joe, you were at the Steve Sarkisian's press conference on Monday, talked to him there, have been following the transfer portal for the Longhorns. It has been a busy week, not only for the Longhorns, but for college football in general. I read a stat earlier this morning that already more than 500 wide receivers and 500 defensive backs have declared for the portal.
It's a lot. It's a lot of skill players. And, you know, most teams only play four at a time. And the other thing is, you know, I think what's lost on a lot of people about the portal is that it is all levels. It's D1, FBS to D3. So, you know, yeah, there are players like, you know, a handful of Ivy League guys who are trying to move up and get a graduate degree. There's FBS guys trying to find a new place to go and may move down, all different reasons. So, yeah, it's a wild time, and we've been tracking it over at Inside Texas and, you know, across On3 as well.
Yeah, it's really crazy to me. Longhorns had seven guys go in on Tuesday. Kind of quiet day yesterday. Nobody knew other than a walk-on quarterback had graduated, Ben Ballard, a guy that had been in the program for a while. Never saw any – I think he took some snaps as a late replacement in some games, like a non-conference games, and handed the ball off. I don't think he ever attempted to pass as a Longhorn. But other than that, only seven scholarship guys went in the portal on Tuesday. It sounds like Xavier Worthy is leaning towards coming back. The news we get, other people have reported out at USC, for example. They're reporting that they're hearing that Worthy is more likely coming back. We've heard he's more likely coming back. So that's good news for the Longhorns. But there are other guys that we're waiting to hear on. Tavondre Sweat, Jordan Whittington, have not signed with agents yet, to my knowledge. They're both possible to come back. There are other guys, Jalen Ford. Of course, we expect these guys to come back. But in the new age of the transfer portal, it's all kind of up in the air. And we just have to wait to see how it all falls out, right?
Yeah, exactly. If you did this during basketball season, you note that a lot of guys would declare for the draft and also enter the portal. They can't do that in the with the NFL. But you could see, and basically for those guys, it kind of seems like we're waiting more on NFL draft declarations and any sort of potential that they're going to go elsewhere, because those guys have been Longhorns through and through. Jordan Whittington, Jalen Ford specifically. So a little bit different process, but we'll see, you know, just what happens. I think I haven't looked up the cutoff date for NFL declarations. I think it's in later in January, but you and I both know come Monday, that's when the floodgates really open for non-graduate transfers in the portal and players whose head coach wasn't fired. They'll be able to jump in there and set the world ablaze, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting. A guy like Christian Jones, who is a multi-year starter at Texas, he technically has one more year available because of COVID. I don't think he's coming back to the Longhorns, but is he going to test the NFL waters, or is he going to look at NIL somewhere? You know, you just don't know in this day and age. And I think the portal is being compounded, Joe, by the COVID year. Everybody getting that extra year. There are sixth year players now, technically, that are getting that extra oomph as well. That's complicating the portal, but we'll see how this all comes out. We're working on it and following it, of course, closely at InsideTexas.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Other news today, news broke last night that the Rose Bowl had agreed to become part of the college football playoff, clearing the way for a college football playoff. Then today, this morning, in fact, the college football playoff committee announces that they're going to a 12-team playoff officially in the 2024 football season. Not this year, obviously, and not next year, but the year after. And that happens to coincide with when we think the Longhorns are officially moving to the SEC. What are your thoughts on the 12-team playoff and what was announced today?
You know, I am kind of one of the people who doesn't like a big playoff. I like a regular season to where, you know, one or two slip-ups is all you get. It makes it that much more difficult to, you know, it makes the filter of great teams that much finer. To where only the best, only the teams that don't have very many flaws, at least at the college level or at least among their conference mates, make it through. If they're going to expand, you know, I kind of would have liked 8, but I like 12's okay, especially when you add in the factor that they're going to have some playoff games on home fields. That's going to be a lot of fun. It could be in Austin. It could be in Baton Rouge. Imagine mid-December with the game with so much implications surrounding it in any of these locations. Or imagine a mid-December game, let's say if Wisconsin gets it going under Luke Fickell. Imagine if the Longhorns had to go to Wisconsin. Now, that'd be quite a trip. It'd be quite a change in environs, but it'd be something to see that in mid-December in Madison. Just throwing that out there. So,
did they come out with specific dates? Because I'm thinking about this. There are certain places. Austin's not one of them. You know, if Texas has a playoff game in mid-December, even though the kids are off campus, there's not going to be a problem. Playoff game in mid-December in certain places may be a hard thing for the student body to be part of. Not that it's going to be a poorly watched game or poorly attended game. It just, you lose some of that home field advantage, I think. Did they give a time frame when those games are going to come about or a projection? Like, is the first round going to be mid-December or is it going to be after the new year?
Let's see. First round of the playoffs in 2024 will take place the week ending Saturday, December 21st, at either the home field of a higher-seeded team or at another site designated by the higher-seeded institution. So they're going to be doing it, you know, around state championship times in Texas, around state championship times in other states, and in the dead of winter, right in the middle of the holidays, and also against the NFL. So they're going to be taking some risks in this, but this is what the people wanted to see. They wanted more access, or maybe the people, the media, I don't know. They wanted more teams to have the chance to be like Cincinnati and have a seat at the table and have an opportunity to win a national championship. And we're going to see that in, you know, just over 2 years now.
So it'll be the round of 12, which actually will only be 4 games, right? The highest, what's interesting to me, they're giving basically what would be 5 through 8. 1 through 4 get a bye, right, in a 12-team playoff. 5 through 8 are the ones that get a home field advantage. 9 through 12 go on the road. That's interesting to me because then the teams with the best record never get to play at home per se. Right. And they have to have the extra week off, which isn't necessarily a good thing that late in the year. And it doesn't keep you as sharp. It seems to me like 8 or 16 would have made more sense than 12. 12 is kind of a weird number to me. It just doesn't make that much sense. But the other thing to notice is that December 21st weekend is 3 weeks away. It's basically 2.5 weeks away. Excuse me. From the conference championship games. And if that's the case, Joe, you're going to be looking at teams that are getting back in rhythm or 4 weeks away if you're a 1 through 4 team. I feel like there's some tweaks to this that could happen in the future. But the big news, obviously, overall, is that they're going to have this in general. Taking a step back from this, Longhorns, talking about the college football playoff, obviously, I actually want to see, if I want to see it, I wanted to see it be an even number like 8 or 16, not where teams got buys, because I think that football, especially offensive football at that time of year, relies so much on timing and, you know, execution. It's going to hamper some teams that are the higher seeds, I think.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, I want to go to the Texas basketball team right now because they have a big game coming up against Creighton tonight in the Moody Center, right? You're going to be there, Joe. Texas is ranked what now in basketball?
Number two in the country, right behind the U of H Cougars. And the Blue Jays coming in as part of the Big 12 Big East Challenge of Creighton, they are number seven. And so, you know, if Texas wins this, this will be their first top 10 win at home since they beat Michigan State, I think either 12 or 13 years ago. And Draymond Green was still on one of those Michigan State
teams. Was Gonzaga not in the top 10?
Texas wasn't in the top 10.
Oh, you mean Texas as the sitting top 10 team. Okay.
Both teams in the top 10 at home.
Okay. Got it.
So this will be an interesting one. Creighton's got some good depth. They got some size up front that Texas didn't handle very well last year, especially at the end of the season when they were playing Purdue and, you know, at other points throughout the year. They've got a 7-footer who's going to really test guys like Dylan Dessou, Dylan Mitchell, even Christian Bishop, a former Blue Jay himself. So this will be an interesting one. It's early. It's at 6 p.m. Central, so maybe some late arrivers at a typically late arriving crowd. But, you know, another big chance because if you look at Texas' schedule, it's kind of, you know, you have some high teams like, you know, of course, the top of the Big 12, like Baylor, Kansas, even Texas Tech, Tennessee's up there too as far as the Big 12 SEC Challenge. You got some teams kind of towards the lower end of the spectrum who are not going to be competing for even a bubble spot or will probably be one and done in their own conference tournament. So a win against a team like Creighton, who's probably going to contend to win a Big East regular season and maybe even tournament title, that'd be huge for the resume. And as the coming weeks, you know, pass by, there's going to be some softer opponents. And not this week. They go to New York City to face Illinois, I think, on Monday or Tuesday after this. But there's going to be some softer teams on the schedule, and to be able to have this Creighton win and go through the rest of the schedule before the always tough Big 12 play starts, that'll be really important and prove that this Texas team really is for real and deserving of its number two ranking.
Yeah, they play in Madison Square Garden on Tuesday night. You know, we look at this. Creighton is an interior first team, correct? And so that puts Brock Cunningham. Who are some of the other guys on the Dylan Dessou, you know, those guys are going to have to step up. Even Dylan Mitchell from the wing is going to have to play some on the interior as well. Your thoughts right now on what you think Texas needs to do to keep the momentum going in basketball, because I see a team right now that has three good guards and Sir Jabari Rice, Marcus Carr and Tyrese Hunter, and then a supporting cast that is really, you know, kind of anchoring the team around that. It seems to me that Texas is just they're such a good, I mean, they're ranked number two in the country, so I get it. But it seems to me they're just like such a good basketball team. They don't have what I would call many weaknesses at this point. You agree with that?
Yeah, the defense has to carry over. That's the big thing, is because when that starts to lapse and Chris Beard gets mad and the results aren't the same, it's been really strong so far. That's always a calling card of a Chris Beard team, and holds true this year. Against, you know, some, I guess, lesser teams, and I guess to an extent against Gonzaga, there were times when they shot the three ball terribly. To say the least. And Gonzaga, I think they shot it pretty well. Gonzaga themselves shot well, but it speaks to Texas' ability to run in transition that they were able to, you know, kind of pull away from the Zags. So one thing that they're going to need to do is have those three that you mentioned, Carr, Hunter, Rice, they got to continue to shoot well. If not, then they're going to be playing, you know, kind of tough it out, slog it out basketball inside the lane, inside the three-point line, which they're capable of doing. But whenever they can shoot the three, some of the ways they've been able to over the course of this early part of the season, that just widens up the whole offense and makes it so teams really have to defend, you know, man-to-man instead of in zone. And some teams have tried to throw zone at them, and Texas has successfully just shot it over them. We'll see what happens with Creighton, but good shooting, continued good transition play, and, of course, good defense. Feel like that's a recipe for success for a lot of teams, but Even so, I feel like this Texas team has a little bit more margin for error because of the defense they play and because of how high a pace they run.
One more thing I want to talk about here, Joe, with you is the Texas One Fund.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A lot of comments as the portal becomes a reality in college football and college sports in general, and that is NIL. And the Texas One Fund is the University of Texas's answer to that predicament, I guess, for Texas student athletes. The Texas One Fund is basically it's been created by a group of folks that want everybody to have a place. So whether you're a football player, a basketball player, a baseball player, a tennis player, you as a fan can donate specifically to that sport. A lot of other places have independent ones. And at Texas, there were a number of independent ones being run, one for football, basketball, baseball. And they all came together a couple of weeks back. And they've gotten some really good press from and support from the university in the last month or so. And I want to make sure that people knew that if they're interested in contributing to NIL for University of Texas student athletes, they can go to texasonefund.com, I believe, or is it .org? Is it .com? I think it's .com. But anyways, please consider that. Literally what they do for folks nowadays is they engage student athletes in the community. So they go help. They make sure the student athletes are going to inner city schools or to Dell Children's Hospital or to those sorts of things and making an impact on the community. I think one of the things they've got coming up is with a hunger organization that they're working with now as well. So if you guys want to make a dent in the NIL piece for the University of Texas and want to hear more about that, please visit texasonefund.com. Joe, your thoughts on the impact of NIL overall as it relates to college sports right now?
You know, it's going to be a contributing factor to a lot of different recruitments. Texas doesn't want to be the contributing factor. It doesn't seem like either Steve Sarkisian or Chris Beard, and I'm sure the same holds for David Pierce and the rest of the head coaches at Texas. They don't want that to be the topic number one, but it's nice. It's a box you kind of have to check these days. And I think the fact that now we have, I guess the term I'm throwing around, collective, they're all in one spot instead of having one. I think it was for baseball, basketball, football, you know, Pancake Factory, golf. Now they're all in one spot, and that not just helps those sports where, you know, maybe if you wanted to help baseball and football, you'd have to splinter your donations. Now it all goes there, and it helps out, you know, women's tennis and women's golf and everywhere else that all the other sports that the athletic department sponsors. So obviously a great thing for Texas. You've seen Steve Sarkisian mention it, I think, in recent weeks. Even Chris Del Conte put his stamp on it as soon as it was announced. And I think I didn't get a chance to read his newsletter, but I think he mentions it there. The fact that the university and administrators and head coaches can put their own stamp of approval on it's a big deal and shows that, you know, there are other NIL avenues that Texas players have taken, you know, via
non-school. He's not in Lamborghini. Essential one.
There are even some, I think, through like, it's like, I don't know exactly what it is. They brand themselves in Burn Orange, and it's not like they're CD operations, but it's not the go-to place that Texas is trying to create with this Texas One Fund. It's just such a huge help, and it shows the organization and the want to by a lot of Burn Orange involved people.
What I like about one of the things I like about the Texas One Fund, I like a lot of them things because I think it's getting done the right way. But one of them I like is that they're not looking for the guys that want to give not just the guys that want to give $1 million and have all this money. They're looking for small donations, as little as $5 a month, something like that, where people will feel part of that program. You go to the website, TexasOneFund.com, and just select the sport you want to donate to and click on a donation amount. And literally, I think the donations can be as little as $5 a month in helping those guys out. So, all right. Hey, Joe, good luck to the Longhorns tonight as they go up against Creighton at home. I imagine that is going to be a loud arena tonight with the students still in school right now. And then we'll be awaiting, I guess, Sunday we will expect the bowl announcements for where the Longhorns are going to be going. All right, for Joe Cook, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been this episode of On Texas Football. Thanks for watching and listening.